Okay, Phil, last night we saw the United States men's national team put out sort of what you could call a B minus squad. It wasn't even really the secondary team for the national cycle, but they were able to beat a strong Panamanian team led by new Philadelphia Union signing Gabriel Gomez. What can you tell Philadelphia Union fans about your take on Gomez, not only from his display last night, but also from your time, broadcasting and watching these types of games?
In my mind, he'll be one of the best, if not the best, defensive midfielder in MLS. I think basically you take a look at what Eduardo Alonso does in Seattle and then put a bigger body on it so he can get even more physical. Plus, in my mind, I think that Gomez, his ability to pass and to play the ball out of the back and find the danger man up front is probably not appreciated. I'm not saying that he's the greatest thing since sliced bread, but this is a very good quality signing, and I think it fills a need. I think Philadelphia is a much better team with him than without him.
Philadelphia already has Brian Carroll, is considered one of the best defensive midfielders in Major League Soccer. One of the reasons why he doesn't get a lot of publicity is because he doesn't really put himself out there. He's a very mild-mannered person, doesn't really want to be looked at as, this star-type player. They also have Omobi Okugo, who's a former first-round Super Draft pick and captain of various levels of the U.S. men's national team. So how do you see Novak possibly utilizing Gomez while still being able to balance out last year's defensive midfield starter and also Okugo, who's seen somewhat as a future starter for the men's national team at central midfield?
Well, in my mind, Okugo is the guy who loses out, maybe sharing a little bit of time with Carroll or maybe perhaps working on the wing, which is normally what happens with younger players. If the position they're best at is kind of occupied, they learn another position to get the playing time and at the same point pick up little tips and tidbits from watching the veterans play. And I think that Brian Carroll is very good. I do think, though, that Gomez is more prototypical at that position if you're just going to go with one. However, I think when you do, as you mentioned, have the depth, I wouldn't be surprised to see them, I wouldn't call it exactly an empty bucket, but that seems to be the description most U.S. fans are used to from the Bob Bradley days, where you basically had kind of a little thunder and lightning between the two, with Gomez playing next to Carroll and maybe both Farfans and the wings, et cetera, with a strike force up front that looks to be a little bit more secure for the future with Malanga looking to be locked up for a while. So I think that what Philadelphia has right now is a plethora of central midfielders that have the quality to play there. But I have a feeling that Gomez, if he gets adjusted to MLS as quickly as I think he will be, I mean, the one advantage that he and down in Dallas, Blas Perez have over many of the other internationals that come into Major League Soccer, even some of the other Central Americans, is the fact that they play at a high level against the United States national team, and they've done well against the U.S. national team in the Gold Cup and World Cup qualifying. So it's not like where maybe you just have a journeyman forward who's used to dominating in Mexico because the defenders are a little smaller coming over, then realizing that they can't cut it here. It's not like maybe even a youngster coming in on his way to Europe in his mind. This is a guy who's proven himself and has taken pretty much everything that the U.S. has to throw at him and had it bounce off. So he's going to be a battler and with a pretty good touch as well. So I think that any questions that there might be surrounding the defense for the Union have been, are at least heading towards being resolved. Now the question is, what do they get if they even do get anything out of Freddy Adu? What happens with Sebastian Letou? Does Belanga jump back to the form that was teased at the start of his career? Or is he going to be kind of mired into that little funk that he had last season? So I think that, again, the Union are a better team than they were, and I think that with Gomez's addition, they'd have considered a very good candidate for a playoff spot. Now, as to whether they actually become a playoff team and how well they do in the postseason, I think depends on the offensive side, and that's where Nolan's got to turn his attention now.
Turning back to last night's game, one of the commentators on Burley game, one of the fans who was watching it, thought that he saw that Gomez was a little bit out of shape, maybe because his Mexican team, Indios, obviously went out of business, and that's why he was able to come to Philadelphia Union. Did you see that kind of problem with him? Because I thought he had relatively good stamina for the role that he played last night, and his through ball in the first half was absolutely beautiful. He had that rocket of a shot at the end of the second. So what was your exact take on him last night, which was the first viewing for any Union fan?
Well, I mean, I've done a lot of Panama games, and he's never really been a small guy. I think some people look at him and just see the physique, and, I mean, don't take this the wrong way, but I guess we get into the debate again as to what types of athletes play soccer here as opposed to what types of athletes play in other countries. I mean, if you stand next to Paolo Maldini, you'd almost swear he was a basketball or a football star. The guy was so tall and chiseled. Where here, a lot of the players that shine at soccer, at least to this point, have been the ones that maybe weren't quite big enough to do this or quite muscular enough to do that, but they do have the skill and the brain. I think that in other parts of the world, not only do you have skill and brain, you also have the brawn to go with it when you get to the top flight. So I agree with you. I didn't see it that much. Now, admittedly, the whole situation with Indios could be a boon and a curse. It might take a little bit of time, and I guarantee you that Novak is not the type to take it easy on players. He'll be fit before the season starts, if that's in any question. But, no, he's never been a small guy. He's never been a shrinking guy. If you're expecting all defensive midfielders in the world to look like Brian Carroll, you're going to be disappointed. This is a guy that can get physical and get mixed in with some of the big forwards that are going to be out there. So I think that, again, this is not exactly mid-season form for him. I mean, it would still be early on in the season, even if he was still with Indios at this point. I think what you saw last night, you're probably only going to see better by the time that Major League Soccer gets underway.
Now, at the beginning of your statement about his play last night, you mentioned that you've done a lot of Panama games, and something that always comes up with your broadcasting outside of that is your partnership with Ray Hudson, who's a former Premier League player and a former player here in the United States with the Fort Lauderdale Strikers. A lot of people always ask, you know, why you two have stuck with Gold TV versus, you know, maybe coming back here when NBC had the opening that you know, that eventually went in a different direction, or when Fox or ESPN have. So, what's been on your minds in terms of, you know, coming back and calling United States games, be it national team or Major League Soccer?
Well, the first, I guess, is it takes two to tango, but I know that he's had a few feelers here or there for certain things. I've had a couple here or there. I love working with Ray. I mean, I followed him since he was a player and I was a kid in the stands watching him play at Lockhart Stadium. I had the chance to work with him at the beginning of the Miami Fusion, and to get the chance to do that was amazing. I always tried to get ESPN to sign him up, but the time they finally got around to it was the time that he'd already just taken over the coaching reins of the Fusion, so I wasn't sure if I was ever going to get the chance again. And then Gold TV started up right in our own backyard. Ray's a little bit of a homebody. I'm a South Florida native who kind of wandered in the woods for 10 years and eventually came back. I think that's part of it. In fact, right now it's almost 80 degrees. I have a feeling that there's a lot of people up in Philadelphia who are probably wondering why they're not down in South Florida. So I think it's the fact that we've been fortunate enough to have a network like Gold TV that takes the sport seriously, that loves the sport as much as we do, open up in our own backyard and give us the opportunity to do games from all over the world, and especially teams like Real Madrid and Barcelona and Bayern Munich and all of those types. We've been rather fortunate. So it would take something special, I think, to pry either of us away,
To go directly to the questions off of Twitter that I mentioned earlier, Luke Butler asks, do you ever, in a moment of weakness, want to rip Ray's vocal cords out? You know, I guess he's referring to one of Ray's somewhat outlandish statements that come up in a moment of passion.
No, I think that what you just said there at the end is the fact that it is passion. And I've worked with a lot of people in this business, and I've been fortunate to work with a lot of good ones, but in my mind, the ones that stand out are guys like Ray, and I've done some games with Tommy Smith, who I know some people love and some people hate, but the one thing that both of them do is have the ability to make it fun, to realize, I mean, this is just a game. It's not like we're screaming in the medical research centers that they're screwing up the cure for cancer, or we're criticizing rocket scientists. I mean, this is a game, and it's fun. And the fact that Ray also has the ability to break things down as a player and as a coach kind of gives you that other aspect. I know a lot of fans used to have the same feelings about people like Dick Vitale or John Madden or Don Cherry, and I think that Ray is kind of all of those guys rolled into one. So have I ever thought about ripping out his own vocal cords? No. Have I ever thought about falling on the floor and cracking up laughing? Yes, and to this point I've been fortunate not to go that far. So it's a thrill, and it's unique, and I guess let's just leave it at that.
The other question on Ray is, how many times do you jab your elbow into him? I don't know the exact context, but again, it's definitely going to be concerning the passion that you just discussed.
No, if anything, it might be the other way around. I got started in radio. I love radio broadcasting, and back before MLS's return, with baseball and football, and used to listen to people like Vin Scully and Marv Albert and Joe Tate and some of those, Herb Score. I mean, just listen to some of the guys that were able to paint a picture with their words. So I have also been used to, as you mentioned, with Arlo White going to NBC, who did an outstanding job in a solo booth with Seattle, and some of the questions are, is he going to be able to be just as good with two men? It's a different horse. I could do, in fact, I have done two or three games in a row just by myself during some international tournaments, and if the games are good, it's easy. If the games aren't good, that's why they're paying you. So you have to find ways to keep it interesting and to find the insight and the amusing points of games. But when you are working with someone that has the personality of Ray, you have to tone it back a lot and realize that they're part of the show. They have a lot to contribute and to make the program better. So most of the time it's relatively easy, but when you have guys like Ronaldo or Messi going back and forth and thank goodness I haven't had to do a game with Juan Riquelme in there, otherwise I might never get a chance to speak, but you do realize, just tone it back a little bit and let Ray run.
My last question on Ray basically comes from my father, who the first time listening to you two call game after purchasing a package that had Gold TV on it, questioned me over whether or not Ray had a spreadsheet of words out in front of him where he was playing word bingo in order to do it. And to me, if you want to be a conspiracy theorist, perhaps like my father jokingly saying so, something about, you know, as Dirty Tackle said, he said something about Dr. Spock being out of his Vulcan mind during the first leg of Copa del Rey with Barcelona and Real Madrid. Do you know how he's able to somewhat pull things out of his head like that, connecting things and utilizing analogies and references and otherwise in ways that I don't want to say we normal human beings might think, but Ray's kind of on another level per his.
Absolutely. No, people think he's a clown, but he's more than that. I mean, he is kind of the court jester, probably going all the way back to his pool days back in Newcastle or Gateshead. And at the same point, he's a very smart guy. He's very well read. He's up on a ton of pop culture with movies, television shows, and things like that. So I mean, he knows the classics and he knows what's pop. And somewhere inside, as he might say, that magnificent noggin of his, it all mixes together, and what comes out is just pure Ray. So I mean, there might be the occasional little scribble as he's on his notes as he maybe spotted something in some of the pregame reports. But no, it's not like he has, okay, this is what I'm going to do in the 13th minute, this is what I'm going to do in the 27th minute. It's not that scripted. What happens is what happens, and let's see what happens after that. So, you know, it's, again, like sometimes I cannot even turn in my chair to look at him, because I know I'm just going to bust out laughing. So, I just have to try and focus and let Ray get the laughs from the viewers and then try and get back to the game in one piece.
Turning back to you, something that in sports really isn't seen unless, you know, a writer really delves into the person on it is the person behind the athlete, behind the writer, behind you know, the manager, behind the broadcaster. So I know when I first called you, you mentioned that you had talked Popcorn and Top Gun with World Football Daily. So you know, what's the common day, Phil, away from Barcelona, away from Real Madrid, away from Ray? You know, I guess Top Gun's one of your favorite movies based upon what you said to me.
No, they were talking about Top Gun, I think, as they were waiting for the phone to connect, and we just kind of jumped into that. No, for me, when I was a little younger, before I got married, before I had kids, before I had the house, maybe a little bit more exciting, hopping on a jet plane to a jet plane, hotel to hotel, when I was doing Major League Soccer, which was great at the time, but once you get married and once you have kids, it's a little harder to walk out the door knowing that how much you're going to miss over those next 2 or 3 days. So I was, again, fortunate that Gold TV opened up in my backyard and I was able to hook up with them and basically just kind of be a homebody at times. I mean, there's all you have to do is talk to anyone with a house, and believe me, there's enough there to keep you busy. And especially to toss in two preteens into the mix of it. And once you have everything fixed, they'll find a way to break with you just to keep you more occupied. I've got three dogs, four guinea pigs, a ton of fish, and a rabbit. So never alone, even when the kids are at school and the wife's at work. It's just go around doing Mr. Mom stuff sometimes, and on a work day, scour the internet, find out what all the news of the day is, both on the news side and on the sports side, especially in regards to soccer, just so that way I'm ready to run when I head to work. Been doing a lot more of the newscasts this year when there are no games, so go to work in the early afternoon, come home in the early evening, and watch a little television or read a book, go over the kids' homework. All rather pedestrian, all stuff that that pretty much everyone that listens does in their own life. It's just I've been fortunate enough to get a great job that provides more than enough excitement.
How are you able to you know, balance soccer in terms of researching it, calling it, watching it, with, you know, what you said, being Mr. Mom, kids, pets, wife, family? I mean, I don't have...
Teach the guinea pigs how to mow the lawn.
Oh,
once you got that, everything gets a lot easier.
Or teaching them how to say row, as in that like one commercial.
That's a very funny commercial. No, it's not that hard. I mean, initially, when I was doing a lot more traveling, and even now it still is the case, how much you rely on your spouse. And it's not easy being the spouse of someone, the broadcaster, especially when they do travel, because in many ways it's like she's raising two kids on her own. I mean, there were a few times where, I mean, maybe to exaggerate a little bit, but like my son would get a bloody nose and I'd say, okay, out the door, got to hit the airport. And she'd have to deal with stuff herself. So now that I'm able to do a lot of the stuff from Gold TV Young, it's actually rather easy. Scott's been good to me, and I'm trying my best not to screw it up.
You're not the Tim Tebow of broadcasting, are you?
No, but you know what? If there was anyone I was going to get a NFL jersey of, it might be him right now. So I love the fact that he's not afraid to wear his belief on his sleeve, and where others might have in the past as well, with him it seems actually genuine. And it's not like he's trying to do it to get commercial sponsorship. I mean, this is what he believed going all the way back. Had the chance here to see it through the University of Florida, so it's not something that's just come upon him. And he is a wonder. He might not have all the skills, but he has the heart, has the courage, and he has the leadership. And I think that there's a ton of doubters out there, and it's great to see someone like that succeed.
To pull us back a little bit towards soccer before letting you go here, how about we do a little bit of a, I don't want to say a quick fire, but some sort of, round fire kind of thing. I'll just pull stuff off of Twitter feed right now. I see that you're talking to soccer reform. So one of the jokes that's going around Twitter right now, Twitter recently, is that Eric Wynalda is soccer reform. On a scale of 1 to 10, where you see that in terms of just overall hilarity?
Hilarity or reality? Because hilarity, I'd say it's a 10. Reality, I'd say it's a 1.
Yeah, I'm
it would be very interesting to watch Eric argue with soccer reform. I think that would be hilarious.
Yeah, I don't see it as it, but you know, after Eric did have that speech right after the Super Draft, people were making the connection because he kind of came off a lot like soccer reform, where he's going to keep on driving home his point until you either break or block him. I pulled up the tweet that you said to soccer reform, you know, love your passion, your dream, and your appreciation of roots in the U.S. And to me, you could say the same thing about Eric, but you could also say the same thing about, you know, people from the other side. So on that note, how do you feel about promotion, relegation, since that's always going to be a hot topic no matter what happens in the United States?
I would love to see us at the point where we could have promotion, relegation, and I think eventually we will be at that point. However, think about this. We're talking about owners were shelling out tens of millions of dollars, and in some cases hundreds of millions when you include development and stadiums and things like that. All of a sudden, one bad year, and they're in the second division, where there's absolutely no chance of income. So when we get to the point where you can survive in a second division and fight, have a legitimate chance to realize you're not just flushing money down the toilet, but actually have a chance to come close to maybe breaking even in a chance to get back to the first division. At this point, if you relegated even on Los Angeles into the second division, and they get stuck there for a couple of years, it's a black hole. I mean, you're not going to be spending $7 million for David Beckham to be going through Puerto Rico and Atlanta. I think that it's a great dream, it's a great goal, but you have to realize that the current system is what is making this league grow. It's nice to say that if the restrictions were not there, it would be growing a lot faster. Seen that reality, though, have a different outcome a number of times, going all the way back to the original ASL, through the NASL, and the various carnations of USL. So it's nice to say, it's nice to shoot for, but you also have to realize it's not your money. And there were plenty of chances for millionaires and billionaires to come up and spend money for the league that you want, but the one that they got behind is this one, and so far it seems to be working rather well.
On a more local note, odds that if Sebastian Letoo makes his rumored transfer to Bolton, that he and Tim Ream will help Bolton stay afloat and not be relegated, as you just discussed about teams falling down below where they really want to be.
That's a little bit more difficult. I think that the player that they really miss is Stuart Holden, and I don't think that either of those players is no matter how good Tim Ream will be, he's not as good as Cahill is at the moment, so that's actually going to be a bit of a drop-off as Tim tries to adjust to new players to defend. And, I think that with Latou, similar, you'd be asking a lot. It's not as though that this is Thierry Henry in his prime. This is a guy who was pretty much a journeyman up until 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and just caught fire at the right time. And I think that both of these players are good cogs in the machine, but they still need, I guess, the gear or the lever that's going to get the machine in motion. And that looks to still be Holden, and hopefully he'll be back before too long. I think that they're both good additions. I think it's good for MLS to have players of that quality. I think it kind of stinks if you're a New York or Philadelphia fan, but, I mean, that's the world of soccer. And you can still take some pride in the fact that one of your alumni is now playing in one of the best leagues in the world. As far as the Bolton fan, though, if you're thinking that, that Coyle has now solved the enigma, I think you're fooling yourself. There's still a lot of work that needs to be done in the second half of the season.
And to finish this off, have you seen Finding Forrester? The movie?
Have not. That's
Sean Connery, and the lead role is actually a kid that they found on, literally found off the street, basically, because he'd never done any acting before.
But it's intriguing. Kind of like Slumdog type stuff.
It's inner city kid who's good at basketball. Basically gets the tutoring that he needs to bring his writing to, I guess, almost like a professional level from this writer who has a book that's well-renowned but is reclusive and hides himself in the third story of an apartment-type complex.
Well, let me put it this way. Almost any movie that Sean Connery is in is worth watching. So
yes.
Now that you brought it to my attention, I'm sure I'll be watching it soon.
It's unfortunate because I had the perfect question for you. However, you have not seen the movie. So
I guess that just gives us an excuse to talk again later.
Yeah, yes, it does, because once you see this movie, you will really appreciate the question.
They keep me in suspense.
All right. Well, thanks for talking to me, Phil. You can find Phil on Twitter at PhilSchoen. Phil's also on Goal TV. You can find that on your local broadcaster, typically in a premium package on Comcast. I believe it's 726 in South Jersey, Philadelphia area. Anything you'd like to tell the folks, Phil, about contacting you?
No, just feel free. You can also write me at Gold TV, first name dot last name, PhilSchoen at GOLTV.TV. But like you said, Twitter's probably the best, and I love it. Just the ability to check the pulse and also toss out a few ideas. It's an amazing addition to the world of soccer right now, where you can get the insight from people that are actually inside the game and the pulse of the people who really make it tick, and that's the fans. So I love it, and I check it out almost every day, if not more than that.
Thanks again, Phil. This was the Brotherly Game.